Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
We're going to dig into the Word here this morning. And so if you can get out your Bibles or your cell phones or whatever it is that you're using to look up and read the Word of God lately, get that out. And we are going to be turning to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew. So if you're not familiar with the Bible is split into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And within both of those testaments, there are a number of books. And some of them are books, some of them are letters, and we just call them books. And then each book is split into chapters and verses. Now, when the Bible was written, those chapters and verses weren't there. They were added later just to help us navigate it, okay? So we are in the New Testament today. The first book of the New Testament called Matthew, and we are going to be looking at one verse, at a bunch of verses in chapter 10, but we are going to start with one verse in chapter 9. And so if you're flipping through, it looks like a big number 9 on your page, that means chapter 9, okay? Now, you might have your physical Bible, or you may be able to just Google it, open up whatever web browser you're using, and just type in Matthew 9, and it'll bring that up. But there are a number of apps that you can be using too. Blue Letter Bible, you can probably just type into whatever app store you use and just put in Bible, and there will be a bunch that come up. One that I highly recommend is the YouVersion Bible app. It's free, it's got tons of translations, tons of resources, tons of reading plans. I highly recommend you get that and start using that for your own walk. But you want to be in the Word of God, okay? So, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. I'm reading what's called the New International Version. So the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew, and there have been people that have studied language for years and years and years, and they have the hard task of sitting down with the manuscripts and translating those words over to English. And it's not, you can't go word for word because that's not how language works. And so they've done the best job they can to translate it, and that's why we have all these different translations, King James Version, New Living Translation, New International Version, all these different ones, because you can't translate it word for word. And so I'm reading from the New International Version of the NIV, and this is what it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So today we will be talking about the importance of farming in our community. Farmers are overworked, amen? And you should all quit your jobs and become farmers. Done. No. What is Jesus talking about here? What is he saying? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What is he? Is he talking about our economy? What is he talking about? Well, to give you the context here, Jesus spoke a lot using metaphors and imagery and parables or stories that are supposed to give us some sort of lesson. And what he's saying here is he's talking about the people that are ready to start following God. That there are a lot of people out there who are ready to start following God. The harvest is plentiful. But the people that are willing to talk to others and to lead them to God are very few. There are lots of people who want to start following God, but there are very few people who are willing and able to lead them to Him. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Last week, Pastor Cheryl shared a number of lessons, and one of them was about being a disciple of God means we go. And when God calls us to go, we obey. Well, this passage is a calling to all of us who follow God, who believe that Christ is the Son of God and He is our Savior. It is this call to us saying, hey guys, you need to go and you need to find those people in the world who want to start following God, and you need to lead them to Me. Another way we say that is, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to start sharing the faith that you have. Who here is slightly terrified of that idea? Be honest with me here, folks. The idea of going out and sharing that we believe in God and we believe that He came to earth as a man, He died and He rose again to life, and that we can have eternal life, and that when we die we're going to rise again and be resurrected, and that we follow a book that's 2,000 plus years old and this defines what is truth in us. That's crazy talk. And for you to go out and talk to people who aren't already following God, and who knows what they believe, who knows what they're doing, but they don't believe what you believe. That is a terrifying thought. Because you know how people react to stuff like that. You know that you're going to get yourself into a situation where you're all by yourself and you're having this conversation and you can't just go, Pastor Evan, can you join the conversation here? Because I'm not going to be there. You know you're going to end up in this place where God is calling you to do something, to have a conversation with someone, maybe to go on a missions trip or to start being generous, and you're like, I don't have the resources to be able to take those major steps in my life. Or you're gonna think, oh, if I have this conversation with this person, it's going to eat up all this time and I'm going to lose all this. How am I going to navigate the time that this takes? And if I start to talk to this person, they're going to go on and on and on and on and on. What is that going to look like? You know that you're going to get into the situation where you're going to say to someone, you know what, well, I pray about these things because I believe God listens to us, and someone's going to ask you one of those really hard theological questions, like, well, who created God then? Or, well, where did Adam and Eve's children find their spouses? Or, like, what about evolution? How does that work? Or what makes you think that your religion is right and everybody else's religion is wrong? Like, how do you get to just arbitrarily choose those things? And you're going to have those hard questions thrown at you, and you're going to be left standing there going, I don't know. And not only is that going to feel like you're losing the conversation, but you're going to start wondering what you really believe, and you're scared of what kind of effect that's going to have on you and what kind of effect that's going to have on the person that you're talking to. And you may be wondering, am I going to do more damage to the faith than good by even having this conversation. People are going to ask questions about the Bible, and you're like, I know like six verses from the Bible. I know them really well. I read it, I believe it, but I only know like six verses, so you can't pick it apart with me. And you know that people are going to react poorly. Some of you have done this already, and you have had the experience of people reject it and just shut down the conversation. Some people have taken that and turned it into this hostility towards you. Some of you have lost friends because of your stance and your faith. And some of you have just got this weird drama now in your family because of that. And so you think about the idea of sharing your faith, and probably the biggest thought that's there is, I'm not ready for that. Maybe it's not terrifying for you, but how many of you would say, I don't know if I'm ready for that? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus says that, and then he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And then we enter into chapter 10. And in chapter 10, Jesus does this incredible thing where he names his 12 disciples, and then he sends them out to share the gospel. He says, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. And if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged or tortured in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household will be insulted. So do not be afraid of them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet you, not one of you, will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do you not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. It seems like that way already, doesn't it? A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Now that's a lot. There's a lot in that passage. There's a lot there to kind of absorb and wrestle with. But this is what I want us to take from that today. It's more important that you start than be fully prepared. It is more important that you start the mission than be totally prepared for the mission. We think, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to be attacked. I'm not ready for the questions. I'm not ready to deal with the confusion and the hard subjects. I'm not ready to kind of take that risk. I'm not ready to share my faith. I'm not ready to go and be obedient with whatever it is that God is calling me to. I'm not ready for that. I need to be prepared better. I need to know my Bible better. I need to be versed in the questions and the answers better. I need more training in it. I'm not ready yet. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And Jesus says, you're going to go out, and you're going to go out, and people are going to attack you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to question you. You're going to be among strangers, and you are going to be rejected. And he says, so what you need to do is stay home and study your Bibles a little bit more, and then we'll go. No, that's not what he says. He says, in those moments when you are totally unprepared for what's going on, those are the moments that I'm going to speak through you. Those are the moments I'm going to turn the lights on. Those are the moments when I'm going to take over and I'm going to do those miraculous things that nobody could expect. But you've got to go first. You've got to go first. It is more important that you start than be fully prepared. And he makes those declarations several times in these passages. When they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how to say it. In verse 22, you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Our society and our economy right now is being inundated by people who want jobs and have no idea what they're doing. Amen? We have all these college and university grads who have their degree, and they go to the business, or they go wherever, and they say, I've got my degree, give me a job and pay me really, really well. But they don't really know what they're doing, do they? And they get frustrated. They get frustrated because they don't get the jobs and they don't get the pay. But who are the people that are getting the jobs and getting the pay? The people who have done the job before. The people who have the life experience. Many of you know, you guys are working in business or you have experience working in jobs. You understand that when you put in your resume, you put in your schooling, you put in your preparation, you put that on the resume, but what they're really looking at is the years that you have actually served doing similar jobs. Am I right? The employer is looking at the amount of experience you have. Not the preparation and just knowing stuff, but the experience that you have actually doing the job or doing similar jobs. And sometimes what's happening is people that have no education at all but have the experience of doing the job or similar jobs are getting the work. Is that right? Are you guys seeing those things? It's because we know that experience in the real world counts actually more than just the preparation. Is preparation valuable? Absolutely. I do not want to go see a doctor who has lots of experience dealing with blood and guts, but has never gone to school for it. Because they may have lots of experience with blood and guts, but I don't know what they do with those bloods and guts. I want a doctor who has the education, absolutely. But I really need a doctor. I really need a mechanic. I really need a carpenter who doesn't just know the stuff, but has been doing the stuff. And again, this isn't a commentary about farming or about our economy or how things should work. It's just the reality that we know that experience really matters in how people grow and how good they are at the job they're doing. And when it comes to this walk of faith, and when it comes to sharing our faith, we cannot simply grab hold of the idea that we need to prepare more, we need to prepare more, we need to prepare more, and keep that from, and let that keep us from going. Is preparation valuable? Absolutely. Should you be reading your Bible? Yes. Should you be studying? Yes. Should you be ready for the questions that are going to come? Sure. But it is more important that you start sharing your faith than you be fully prepared. It is more important that you start than you figure out all the answers to the questions. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord to start more colleges and prepare more people so that they can be prepared and better prepared and better prepared and better prepared before they go out into the harvest field. Is that what it says? Again, I went to Bible college. I support our Bible college. I support taking courses and learning and all these things. Absolutely. But the priority here, the priority that Jesus declares is that may be important, that is important, but the first priority, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It is more important that you start than be fully prepared. So this is what we need to do. Number one, you personally need to know Jesus. If you don't know him, then you don't have faith in him to share with anyone. You may be sharing knowledge or ideas, but if you don't personally know Jesus, then you don't have a relationship with him to share with anyone else. And so you've got to grow in your relationship. You've got to have a relationship with Christ. The second thing, you don't need to go first off to those people who are hostile to your faith. Sharing your faith doesn't mean you go find the person that hates your guts because you're a Christian and try to convince them that Jesus is real. That's probably not your first task. The harvest is plentiful. There are people around you who want to know God, who want to follow God. Find those people. Find those people who are open to the conversation, who are open to Jesus, who want to learn, who want to know. Start there. You do not need to convince the enemies of God on your first day out in the working field. Find the people that are open. Don't get stuck on those who just want to argue. You don't need to change their hearts. You don't need to convince them. You share your faith. They reject you. You don't need to stand there and take the abuse. You don't need to stand there and win that fight. The harvest is plentiful. If they don't want any part of the faith you have, it's okay to move on to somebody else. And lastly, you may just need to tell yourself, just do it once. Just start with once. You don't need to go out this week and say, you know what, I'm going to share my faith with every member of my extended family within the next 48 hours. Or I'm going to go and I'm going to go to my workplace and I'm going to sit down and have coffee with each one of my fellow coworkers and I'm going to ask them if they know Jesus. You don't need to do that. Okay? But you do need to do it once. Just start with once. Get this ball rolling. Get out into the harvest and start checking the crop. You won't be fully prepared. And God will show you a lot that you need to learn in and what you need to grow in. And you will come home to questions and you'll have to Google it and then ignore everything that Google told you and then call me and I'll be like, yeah, don't read from that website. Go to this website or check out this book or whatever. And you'll dive into that, and that's great. But you got to start. You've got to start. Because it's more important that you start than be fully prepared. The worship team's going to come up, and they're going to do another song or two here. And as they do these couple songs here, just listen to what the Spirit is saying to you this morning. Maybe He's telling you the person that you need to share your faith with. Maybe it's not that specific. Maybe it's just, hey, you just need to relax around these people. And when Jesus comes out, let Him come out. Maybe He's put something on your heart where it's like, you know He told you to share your faith in the past and you didn't. And you just need to ask for forgiveness for that. And ask God to clear that from your heart. I don't know what it is. But over these next couple songs, consider what He's saying. And start down that road of harvest.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.